Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with writing team John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, who wrote and directed the remake of Vacation, one of my favorite movies. Hi guys.
Yeah, well, happy to still be working.
Yeah.
So, okay, I know you probably answered this a million times, but what was it, what do you think it was about the first movie that everyone loved so much? I don't know, you probably studied it so much that you saw things in it, but I myself watched it probably over 100 times with my brother.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was, that it was the one movie replaying.
Right.
Was it just because there was a movie replaying, or was it because of that movie?
There's something about a family.
There's a relatability to family, and there's an episodic nature in all road trip comedies, and what that allows is a lot of vignettes that are sort of separate from each other that can be extremely memorable for audiences. And it allows audiences to sort of pinpoint what their favorite moments in a movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just a brilliant movie.
There's also something I think, almost wish fulfillment, about a dad who's so determined to just plan and execute a good trip for his family that nothing will stop him. I think we all kind of wish our dads had an aspect of that they're so eager to make you happy that they're going to go to the ends of the earth. And Rusty in our movie has that same quality.
Did you start with that when once you got writing, you said we want to do that for this one too?
Absolutely. I mean, we wanted it to be its own movie, but we did want to capture that same theme.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is about a guy trying to bring joy to his family. And then sort of realizing that it's coming from a more selfish place where he just wants to be the hero.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what's happening with his family.
I kind of love that, though, when you get to that later in the movie. There's so much heart and there's so much emotion plus the comedy. How did you guys balance that? Because it looks really hard to do.
Well, it's nice to hear you say that, because that was the intention, was to not only have big, raunchy, R-rated moments, but also to ground it in a real place and have people get, shall I say, touched by it.
Shall I say. We started with the characters and what they're going through and worked from there, so that hopefully the emotional stuff feels earned and not just tacked on.
Did you take these subplot ideas, like the relationship between the couple and then the kids? Did you look at the first one and say, oh, we want to bring those themes in?
No.
Or did you say, we're going to do
different? There was nothing that specific, and we didn't want to copy any of what they did so much as here and there some homages to it.
Which I thought were perfect. I loved all the homages.
Oh, good.
I teared up when the truckster came out. I didn't realize how much
really?
It meant to
yeah,
me.
Good.
I really did. I was like, what's wrong with
hope that there is that same sort of.
Oh my gosh, I got so emotional.
Yeah, I hope there's that same sort of sense of nostalgia and sentimentality for people who aren't familiar with the original, because that was the ultimate challenge, was to cater to a certain degree to the diehard fans of the original, but also create something new for younger audiences.
Were you nervous at all? Like, oh my gosh, these people are going to come after me.
Absolutely.
There so
yeah, there's a lot of people come to this with a certain built-in hostility,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
And so we have to win them over. And that's partly why we put that little almost disclaimer at the top of the movie where Rusty is making the case that it's going to be stand on its own.
But
if you haven't
so
seen the
funny.
Original.
Uber meta conversation.
It was our way of saying, like, give it a chance.
And it actually does do a good job at sort of easing people's fears. You can hear it in the audience. They sort of loosen up after that moment, because it's like, all right, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, it's like the elephant in the room. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, is this going to be better, or is it going to be its own thing? And of course it's going to be like more modern. And, how did you decide where the stops were? Was it like just tons of ideas? Like, explain your process.
Well, tons of ideas. We had set piece areas. We knew we wanted something in the Grand Canyon. We had a thought about Four Corners. We looked at a map. We sort of plotted out. We actually had somewhere they used to go to Graceland. There was like an Elvis thing we didn't wind up doing. So there were more bits and pieces.
Oh, yeah, that could have been our secret.
Oh, yeah.
Other interview. But yeah, no, I mean, geographically.
What happens there?
Oh, it's
not
a very silly thing.
Cool.
Something is revealed about Elvis that becomes a big ongoing thing. But, geographically, it kind of sets where the general area for each moment is, because they are going to Wally World. So we thought, where are some diverse locations that haven't been explored in the original movie yet that also helps to further each of these characters' arcs? Like when they go to the sorority, we definitely wanted to give Debbie her own voice and have Christina's character have a real history, so that you can see levels to that character other than just being the patient eye rolling mom mm-hmm. wife.
Well, that was my favorite part. But being a woman, I was like, oh my gosh, they took time with this female character, which you don't see.
Good. Not very often.
No, you get Christina Applegate, you want to use her and not just have her be backdrop. So.
And then to see her like want to have more sex because they were in a rut, and mm-hmm. him be more. I was like, this is so fresh. Like take on marriage, like.
Right, because it's usually the woman that's like not tonight.
Yeah.
you know.
Well, I mean, and you know, that's not the way it is in every scenario.
No, so exactly.
You want to see women portrayed in like a way that you hear other people talking about.
It was important to us to sort of get across that, like, just because people are parents doesn't mean they stop being humans mm-hmm. and sexual beings and all this stuff. And so it's an R-rated family comedy, which is kind of a rare bird, and we wanted to push the envelope a little bit and portray them as people.
And it also
parents.
Allowed us to separate ourselves from the original story, where Ellen, as amazing as Beverly played her, mm-hmm. Was consistently the patient wife who kind of was like, oh, Russ, or oh, Clark.
Sparky.
But, so, yeah, it was fun to see Christina, you know, show her wild side, which she absolutely has. You know,
she's
it was
so funny, and she falls off that.
Right.
She goes down. So since you co-directed, what's that like to co-write and co-direct? Are you guys sharing the same pod?
Yeah, we very much do. I mean, there were never any huge fights or disagreements for the most part, and it was kind of a reflection of how we write together as well.
Can you get more done? Like where you're doing one thing and you're doing something else?
No,
we can't.
I wish
it's against
could.
DGA rules. Actually,
oh, okay.
When we applied for the waiver from the DGA to mm-hmm. co-direct, because it requires this whole process of like convincing them that you share the same mind, one of the questions that they asked us, which we learned was a test, was if you have to separate units, who would do first unit, who would do second? And the answer is we would both do first or
gotcha.
Second together.
We would never do that. So yeah, you really have to be side by side.
So what was the toughest moment making this movie, like writing or directing, where you were like, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to do this?
The
was it logistical
moment.
Or was it in the story, breaking
what
story?
What was the toughest moment? No, I mean, well, actually, I mean, when they shut it down, I mean, we were gearing up in pre-production, and we got a call from New Line saying, you know what, guys, we're going to put a way to beat on this. And usually that's the end of a project.
Mm-hmm.
When you've come this far and you're starting to gear up and hiring people, and the studio tells you we're going to take a minute, that's the death of it.
Yeah.
And so we expected it to be done and then came back to life.
Out of the blue,
awesome.
Too. We got a cold call saying, like, oh, by the way, it's all happening.
I mean, I give New Line and Toby Emmerich a lot of credit because he really has always believed in the movie and he pushed it through when not everybody necessarily was on board. And
he
so
championed
he,
it,
yeah,
for sure.
And then in terms of during production...
The toughest scene, for sure, was the whitewater rafting sequence because it required four locations.
So funny.
And ultimately, a total rethinking in the post-process
mm-hmm.
as well. Originally, we had it with dialogue, and it wasn't supposed to be said over that song. And only until after the fact, when we saw it play in front of a couple test audiences, did we realize that the biggest problem was that everyone was already on board with the fact that Charlie was suicidal. And so how do you play off of that more than just, oh, when is he going to do it?
But it's so funny when you did it like in slow motion.
With the
like,
music. Well, that's
that
what it became.
So cool.
It became a sort of melodramatic glimpse inside
mm-hmm.
Chad's head, the right water rafting character, which all of a sudden 180'd the direction of the scene, which
mm-hmm.
was one of the least liked scenes in the movie and became one of the most liked, which was really, really gratifying.
How do you get to that light at the end of the tunnel? Is it just brainstorming together?
You just have to try every
yeah,
version.
You know,
yeah.
And ultimately we were able to shoot a few additional things, like all those close-ups
mm-hmm.
of the family panicking in front of a green screen. We add those in.
Once we sort of knew the direction and the angle, when we did our additional shoots, we knew exactly what we needed to get to execute it, and it worked. I mean, the first time that we played that new version over with the Harry Nilsson song in front of an audience, it was like we found a treasure chest. It was amazing.
It was really good. Really good. I love the music, by the way.
Thank you.
Especially like the beginning too.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks
a lot. I really appreciate it.
See you on the next one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The last one. I think we did Horrible Bosses. I think we did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too,
Cloudy,
as well.
Yeah.
I think we did, I feel like there was another one,
Burr
too. We did do Burr Wonder Sound.
Good.
Vegas.
We did. Yeah. We did talk about that.
Oh, we did do Burr Wonder Sound?
We did talk for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I love you guys. I got to come out and see you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, thank you.